Hi, everybody. This is Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill, my political podcast, the view of a moderate from the middle of the road. And from here, my sense is that, you know, the smash and grab robberies, the epidemic that has apparently befallen the United States. My sense is that there's a lot more to this story than just kids gone wild and robbing the local Gucci, or Fendi stores to get some merchandise. I think that there are adults behind these kids. I think there's an organized criminal enterprise, or a bunch of them, based in the drug culture and the drug business network. I think that those adult criminals are recruiting the kids to go and commit these smash and grabs, knowing that the kids won't be prosecuted strenuously because they're too young and because the liberal politicians trying to make the world a better place have moderated many of the punitive actions that the society can take against criminals. So when a kid is only going to be charged with a misdemeanor and the DA is not going to prosecute a misdemeanor, you know there's something wrong. And you know that because there's no punishment involved, that there will be crimes committed. Here's Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
Japan has attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and Manila, the Philippine Islands, from the air. The attack is developing. Today, Dean Taylor's usual commentary will be replaced by a further report on the Far Eastern situation. We pause now for 15 seconds. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
It was December 7th, 1941, of course, Japan launching the sneak attack. It's always called a sneak attack, not a surprise attack, a sneak attack. I always thought that that had a racial element to it, the sneaky Japanese. It was just kind of a hit. I doubt if the same attack had happened and the Germans were perpetrating it, it would have been characterized just this way. But it was an enormously successful tactical raid on Hawaii, on our base at Pearl Harbor. Killed over 2,400 GIs on board dozens of vessels. 188 planes were destroyed. A stunning blow. The reason I said it was a tactical victory, not a strategic victory, because they did not get our aircraft carriers. The Japanese did not destroy the aircraft carriers, which a few months later rallied and destroyed much of the Japanese fleet at Midway. So it was a stunning, shocking surprise attack, very similar to 9/11, I think, although perhaps there were more moves telegraphed before the Japanese actually launched their armada, their aerial armada. But they did devastating damage, but not profound enough to cripple the U.S. Pacific Fleet, which rallied, of course, and the Japanese were playing catch-up for the rest of the war. But we always remember it. My cousin Estelle was born today, so happy birthday, Estelle. I always called her the Pearl Harbor baby. She was actually born on December 7, 1941. The attack, though, is remembered for the awful loss, but also the resolve that it generated and the unity it brought to the country as we went forward to defeat the foreign enemies, Japan, of course, and Hitler, who had by this time conquered all of Europe. It was the high water mark for the Axis. We soon had them on the run. Took 4 years, over a quarter of a million American GIs, but it happened.
Well, and Geraldo, you talk about, too, that, you know, the tactical victory compared to the actual victory. World War II was not a war that we wanted to be in. The country before then, I mean, was split almost down the middle on, do we jump in, do we stay out of it? It's a conflict, an ocean away. And then all of a sudden, after today, I don't think anybody wanted to avoid that particular conflict, and they realized very quickly how strong we were. I think the emperor was quoted at in Japan saying right after that, we just awoke a sleeping dragon. Well, and that's exactly what they did.
They got that right.
Yep.
The question is now, the most vivid immediate threat is Vladimir Putin and the Russian troops approaching 200,000 of them on the border with Ukraine. It's interesting. I tweeted out today. The New York Times had a very big story about what's happening in Ukraine with Russia on the borderline and what the U.S. should do. And it really, you know, I got a real beef with the New York Times. The New York Times used to be always liberal, but consistent and honorable. And I'm not suggesting it's not honorable now. I just, they are so woke now. They are so keen on saying and doing the right thing, given the sensibilities of today, which I find at times tiresome and artificial. But the New York Times, in becoming ever more woke and activist, today's reporter, actually it was in yesterday's paper, physical paper, the reporter is Anton Troyanovsky, the New York Times reporter. His take on the Ukraine essentially argued that Putin is right, that Putin is correct to covet Ukraine, that through the shared language, Ukrainians and Russians speak the same language, essentially, although the Ukrainians have a different language. Both nations have grown up speaking Russian. They have many of the same traditions. I don't want to go down the primrose path here and do anything to denigrate Ukraine nationalism. But this New York Times article is very fascinating in that it almost argues that, like the Crimea invasion of Russia a couple of years ago during the Obama administration, now you have a situation where Putin would be justified, it almost sounds to me, reading the New York Times article, to move across the Ukraine border and take back what was, Russia. You know, Kiev, the Ukrainian capital, used to be the capital of the Tsarist Russia for a time. So the Putin's argument is the West is trying to eat away at Ukraine, try to get Ukraine to be on the side of NATO and the United States, when in fact Ukraine belongs to the Russian sphere of influence. It's very fascinating. What is most fascinating, however, is that Putin is absolutely not the bad guy in the New York Times take on it, at least. Putin, according to the New York Times, at least, is almost justified to covet Ukraine. So we're gonna cover that. Or maybe I just did. But I really feel strongly that we will watch that and see if there is equivocation on the U.S. part, or will they stand up to Putin, and what are the consequences? Will there be war in Europe? Will there be tens of thousands of casualties? When you have 175 massed armored units and you're sending them across the border, I mean, people are going to die. And I don't know that the West can turn the other cheek if Putin is once again invading Ukraine. We'll watch that, though. From the terrifying to the ridiculous, Jussie Smollett, the actor in Empire, he took the witness stand yesterday in his own defense. You know how he allegedly faked being attacked by two other black guys, ironically. But he said it was a racist attack. He said that the attackers put a noose around his neck, that they beat him up. It was in every regard, a MAGA Trump attack on poor actor Jussie Smollett. He lied. Now he's accused of six counts of disorderly conduct. That's what they call filing a false police report. In Illinois, in Chicago. So his trial, he's on the witness stand now. That would be very interesting, although I don't think that they have the audio. Do they, Rob? Do they have the audio coming out of Jussie Smollett?
Not yet. We're working on it right now. Still going. Yeah, I'm just reading some of this stuff that's just kind of amazing, too, along with this Jesse Smollett, like, saying that he was talking to Don Lemon. And, yeah, he's blaming everybody but
total
himself at this point.
Total lying punk.
He's oh, yeah.
Total lying punk. Okay, find out if you get any Jesse Smollett sign. You know, you talk about mandates. People are grousing about mandates. As of a couple of weeks from now, Bill de Blasio, the outgoing mayor, the lame duck mayor of New York, has issued an edict through his health department that every private sector employer in New York, every private sector employer in New York has to make sure that every one of their employees are vaccinated. So they now have in New York, as of these next couple of weeks, a 100% vaccine mandate. You cannot do anything in New York City unless you're vaccinated. You know, I don't know if they have to show your negative test as well, but you have to show definitely proof of vaccination. Even last week when I was there, you know, going into like Polo, the famous you know, celeb hangout. I like Polo. They carded me. They card everybody, and I think it's going to get just more and more strict. And we'll see how the vaccine mandate plays out. But let me start today. Not that we haven't already started, but I want to start with these organized retail crimes. You know, the smash and grabs. I find it one of the most deeply disturbing, because as I said on Hannity last night, they are evidence of the decline and maybe the fall of Western civilization. I've always said on this show that the one job that government has is to keep its constituents safe. So how is it if you have a store and the store is stuffed with, say it's Nordstrom or Gucci. I don't know if we have Gucci in Cleveland, but you get the idea. High-end stores. The expectation is, and always has been, you know, yes, maybe people without financial wherewithal can only covet these luxury items, but you have luxury items that are on display, and those few lucky people who can afford them buy them. But that's always been the kind of the compact, that the law enforcement institution would protect the merchants just as they try to protect the streets. And, you know, shoplifting's always been a problem, but this isn't shoplifting. These are like locusts descending on whether it's a Walgreens or a Nordstrom or a Gucci, whatever the store is, the best stores, whatever they are, it's locusts descending, many of them armed with sledgehammers, with crowbars, busting up these, you know, the high-end shops in San Francisco and Los Angeles particularly, although these incidents have happened in Chicago now and all across the country. So they just go in, they bust them up. They take handfuls of these high-end purses or whatever it is, then flee confident that they won't be arrested. They won't be arrested in L.A. or Chicago, or I'm sorry, L.A. or San Francisco, because California has passed their Prop 47, not to be confused with our Prop 24, but they passed Prop 47. So Prop 47 says that if you shoplift under $950, you will not be charged with felony shoplifting. You will be charged with misdemeanor shoplifting. But you also have the DAs, the district attorneys, the prosecutors in San Francisco and L.A. saying they won't prosecute misdemeanor shoplifters. So you get the idea. So the shoplifter goes in. He steals $940 worth. So do 30 of his colleagues after they break up the place. They go out with $940 worth. They're not going to get arrested because it's under $950. They're not going to be prosecuted, certainly. So isn't this an abject failure of government to protect its citizens? Isn't this glaring example of a kind of a cancerous tumor on the body politic of the United States. Okay, but without further ado, when I still have time, here's Hannity from last night with Dan Bongino.
Here with Reaction, host of Unfiltered, right here on the Fox News Channel, Dan Bongino, along with Fox News correspondent at large, Geraldo Rivera. You know, Dan, I'm thinking about this. I want to know, where's Liz Cheney? You know, I want to know, Liz Cheney, that is now partnered with the people that called her father a war criminal and a murderer and a crook, and with his work with Halliburton. Liz Cheney, it seems like Washington only cares about one riot, the one that impacted them, the one that you and I condemned and said could never happen again. What about the 535 riots? What about these smash and grabs? Where are the committee investigations into these incidents? In the summer of 2020, we had dozens of Americans dead, thousands of cops hurt, billions of dollars in property damage, looting and arson. Where's Liz Cheney? I'm trying to find her.
She's too busy issuing January 6th subpoenas, Sean. Yeah, people getting robbed, livelihoods being destroyed, businesses being looted. That's not Liz Cheney's thing. She doesn't have any time for that. You know, and in regards to the opening of your monologue there, where you were discussing how AOC said that what we're watching on the TV right now, I can see on return, is not happening, that this is all somehow an act. You know, I wonder, having run for office, I had the unfortunate experience of meeting a lot of politicians. And I came up with a conclusion, Sean. They're one of two things, but they're mostly either really dumb or they're all liars. Most of them are generally liars. They're not all stupid. When it comes to AOC and Joe Biden, though, I'm genuinely not sure if she's a moron. Like, she may actually believe none of this is actually happening. So I'm going to give her a I'm not sure, really. Like, most politicians are just really good liars. But I'm not sure she's bright enough to figure out if what's happening there is really happening. But just one more quick notice. You know, on a very serious note, a very small number of criminals, thank the Lord, commits the overwhelming number of crimes. So we don't want everybody committing crimes, obviously, right? And when you let that small number of criminals out and you dump broken windows policing, this is the kind of stuff that happens. None of this is a surprise, Sean.
Geraldo, I heard some laughter there. I'm not sure why.
Well, I think that AOC is a unique case. You know, she's spunky, she's independent, she's dead wrong on this. I got news for her and for the whole world.
But by the way, the Democrats denied all the riots of 2020. The only riot they care about is the one that impacted them, not the ones that impact the American people. They're all equally wrong.
And to borrow from the CNN headline, I hope that this discourse with Dan and I can be fiery but mostly peaceful. But back to the main point, these organized retail crimes are brazen, they are real, they are evidence of the decline and fall of civilization itself. When you have no rules, when government cannot protect people, when government can only stand by and say, oh, my God, what's happening here, and tisk it, then that's the road to hell to me. Now, when you think about these kids going home with these stolen goods, how is it that they can take them into their homes, their parents are there, their siblings are there? Is that really what's happening? And I just have been thinking about this over the last couple of days. Is there really organized crime involvement here, taking advantage of reduced sentencing in crimes? In other words, in California now, you don't get prosecuted if the shoplifting is under $950. So are the organized criminals recruiting all these kids and saying, you snatch the stuff, you get the stuff, you breast it up, you just give me the armfuls, I'll pay you cash, then I'll fence it on the internet? I think that is more likely what is happening. I mean, Dan, with his expertise in
law
enforcement, can...
Listen, we agree, I mean, largely on this. And Sean, you have to understand, to the liberals watching your show tonight, I know you've got them. I read their nasty grams on social media. I want you to know something. You did this to yourselves. I'm serious. I don't wish ill on anyone. I don't. I'm a Christian. I mean that. I'm a sinner, too. I don't wish ill on anyone. God forbid violence or crime on anyone. But I'm sorry to tell you, you did this to yourselves. I live in a conservative county in Florida, Sean. Yeah, we have investigate crime, sporadic crime like anyone else. But you get locked up here, you go to jail, and the sheriff down here, believe me when I tell you, is not screwing around. They even have a hashtag online, the sheriff's department. You know what it's called? Wrong exit. In other words, don't get off here if you're a criminal, because you'll go to jail. And the crime rate here is minuscule. Right. I mean, none of this is a shocker. When bad guys start to talk to each other and go, hey, you get locked up down here in Martin County, you're going to jail for a long time. Other criminals don't go to Martin County because they don't want to get locked up. This isn't rocket science, man, you know?
I think I'm going to stop it here.
They go to San Francisco or Los Angeles.
Real quick, this is the first time you guys have not killed each other in a long time. We got to end this on a good note.
The crooks are going to counties or cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles where they know they're going to get lenient treatment.
Exactly.
Or if not prosecuted at all. I really do think that there has to be an awakening, that the people of San Francisco and Los Angeles have to express
Geraldo,
to their elected officials.
You know when the awakening
not to
is going to happen?
Like Proposition 47.
It's going to keep getting worse until finally the liberals begin to realize they're the ones getting beaten up and robbed from.
Yes.
Anyway,
that's what happened
you.
In New York, Sean.
True.
We saw it, right? Yeah. That's what happened in New York with Giuliani. They got sick of it eventually.
Dan Geraldo, we appreciate it. Thank you.
So here's my idea for dealing with the smash and grabs. I mean, Rob, you believe they're real, right?
Oh, yeah.
You've seen enough of the clips to know that there's something happening that's different. They kind of brazen organized retail theft is
yeah, different. And it's almost more of a it seems like kind of a protest in a way, like you know, a
well,
horrible
I,
one.
I, they
but,
would love you to think of it as a protest.
Well, in their minds, they think of it
rather
that way
than a crime wave.
Yeah,
but here's my idea: because you don't want to shoot a shoplifter, right?
Not
I mean,
no.
In the old days, they'd have a guy with a sort of shotgun behind the counter. And if something like that happened, he'd start plugging away and be totally justified, at least in the eyes of the law, doing it. So you don't want to kill him. So you have to use non-lethal means, and you don't want to put a big fight up to keep them in the store or try to apprehend them. So what you do is you know the die, sometimes mace and other non-lethal products have a die. The die, or when you're robbing a bank,
yeah. You
put it in a satchel. And you open the satchel, and the satchel blows up, and it's this dye that you can't wash off that shows you clearly. So I would like all of these high-end stores to be equipped with an indelible, visible spray. So if they start leaving, the owner pushes the button. It starts spraying this pink or powder blue, whatever it is, effervescent neon type color.
Yeah, or
they
even
can't
get some,
watch,
yeah.
And they walk out. So now they've got the goods. The goods, first of all, now have the dye sprayed on them. The perps, the kids, have the dye all over them. So at the very least, they're going to have to go home to their parents, to their moms, and try to wash it off. I think that something like that, you got to start thinking creatively. Because if unless you're willing to use deadly force to stop. And these are scary kids. I mean, with
sledgehammers, crowbars. Yeah.
Crowbars. I mean, these are scary, scary customers. You don't want, look what happened, that one guard protecting the news crew in San Francisco got shot dead. The retired cop, the off-duty cop guarding a news crew covering the snatch and grabs got shot dead. But rather than confronting them, spray them all pink. Spray them so everybody knows. Everybody. Maybe it takes an hour or two to come off. I don't know. I'm not an expert in detergents. I just think that would be a good idea.
I like your idea too, because if it sprays the perps, it sprays the merchandise. And I am not Joan Rivers or anything with my red carpet skills here, but I would think that a Versace whatever covered in dye would not be worth nearly as much.
Right.
As something like the other thing to think about too, I understand not wanting to go after petty theft. I get that. It's under most circumstances, it's not a punishable crime by jail. But how about if you're part of one of these things and if you steal $900 or whatever the deal is underneath the threshold, you make it like an accessory after the fact in murder where, you know what, you get that B&E charge too. You get that property destruction charge.
Right,
if you profit off of that, then you go into.
The idea is you don't want the kids to be permanently marred by a felony conviction at 16 years old.
I get that,
which
but
gets them on the road to nothing good.
But I also don't want them coming through my shop with a sledgehammer.
I get you. That's why let's make them pink. Let's make them day glow. Let's be creative about how to deal with this new crime motif. You know, it's a new category. I also think that, seriously, I mean, aside from my idea, which I think is a good idea, they've got to go after these masterminds. Because think about it for a second. How organized are the retail thefts that you've seen on television? They look pretty damn organized. They come all at once. They double, triple park their vehicles. They have paper license plates covering their real license plates. You know, they know where they're going, what they're doing, what they're targeting. It's been well scouted. You know, sometimes there's, you know, scores of them. Someone has to know, you know, where did they get their marching orders? Is it text messages? Shouldn't the federal government use the RICO statutes, the racketeering statutes, to go after them? It is an organized criminal enterprise. So go after the guys who's fencing it, the men or women who are putting it on the internet to resell. I think you've got to go big on it.
You want to go a little bigger than that. These are coordinated attacks on American businesses and institutions and communities. Doesn't that sound like terrorism?
And AOC, put aside the inflammatory T word for a second. I really like AOC, and I know that really irks a lot of people because she is so radical in her way. She's so socialist, the hardest, the leftist Democrat. I like her because she's from East Bronx, where my grandchildren grew up or growing up. She unseated a longtime incumbent, Joe Crowley, I knew, guy from Queens, New York. And she represents a district where she's enormously popular now. And I like that she speaks out against the establishment. But when you say crazy stuff, like she said 2 days ago that the stories of organized retail theft are overblown, that they're exaggerated, with no evidence whatsoever. You know, where does she do that? Why going that way? I want to talk about my dye spray. That's my big news for today. But before I do, I want to remind you, take you back to where I started the program. You have a situation where New York is about to lock down the whole city. Not lock it down in the sense that keep people away, but every retail establishment in New York will soon have a vaccine mandate. That means if you want to work in New York City, you've got to be vaccinated at least one shot. For your kid to go to school, your kid has to have, from 5 years old and up, one shot. So how do you feel about that? It really is. This is now the ultimatum. De Blasio doesn't give a damn. He's on his way out. He's a lame duck. But, a lot of people in New York are in favor of this mandate, this very, very dramatic mandate. So not only when you come to this country illegally, when you come to the JFK or the big port of entry in New York City, you already need a test to show that you're COVID-free. So you need a test to show you're COVID-free. Erica Sol and I needed a test to get back into the country. So you need that test, plus you need the proof of vaccine now. So it's going to be a very challenging time. I mean, parents fear, obviously, disruption for the schools. Restaurants are afraid that if they violate the policy, they're going to be locked down again. You got the airlines and the cruise lines with the holidays looming, and they've got all these new rules now. Our brains are saying, oh, my God, not this crap again. Investors had been rattled, but now I think they see that this new variant is not the big deal that we were afraid it is. Hopefully that holds up. Hospitalizations. I heard hospitalizations here in Cleveland are way up again, Rob. Whether people were heeding the rules or whether they're getting sick unvaccinated, the hospitals are filling up again. I heard that the Cleveland Clinic, someone out there, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard the Cleveland Clinic is putting a pause on elective surgeries. I'm supposed to get my shoulder replaced in January. I wonder if I'm still going to get that happening with you know, the hospitals filling again, and the beds filling again with the COVID.
And they have also changed their visitor policy around, too, a little bit, where now you get one visitor per day, and that even that one person cannot leave the building and then come back. It's like a, the old-school Indians rules with your ticket. You can only get in once and that kind of thing. So
I hate visitors in hospitals.
Yeah, and
I feel like I'm trapped. And they go there and watch you with your disease, whatever it is. It's
yeah, it's not a good situation for anybody.
I don't let anyone see me in that state. Okay, 216-578-1100. There's a lot of things on the table today, from organized retail crime to the invasion of Ukraine, the president's conversation with Putin later in the day, to Jussie Smollett and some of the crap that he's been pulling. The new rules in Strongsville. Greg is on the line. Greg has a comment on one of the ideas proposed. What's on your mind, buddy?
Yes. Hi. The idea with spraying looters, it's kind of like reminds me of what happened in Israel years ago. They had a terrible problem with suicide bombers on buses. It would detonate and kill many Jewish people.
Right.
So that somebody came up with a great idea. They hung bags of pig's blood in the bus, and the Muslims, you know, they cannot touch pig's blood.
Is that real?
Yeah. I heard that on the Prager show years ago, but yeah, it stopped it immediately overnight. It never happened again.
Well, I don't know about pig's blood, but I'm all for any great idea that stops crazy people from doing crazy things. Unfortunately, the mass robberies are not crazy things. I mean, they have a sick logic. They're a lurid example of uncivilization, you know, of selfishness, of organized crime. I think it's not a passing fancy.
Well, to go on that guy's idea though with the pig's blood, they were afraid to touch it allegedly. If we're going to find something though that these folks are afraid to touch,
it's a little gory. I think it's suicide bomb.
Well, let's not use pig's blood. Let's just use job applications. They don't want to touch those, so they can probably we'll use that as a natural barrier.
But the hard thing is to get a ghetto kid from the age of 16 when they're under the sway of these dope dealers. How do you get that kid to graduate high school? And then from high school, my friend Stephanie always says, from age 18 to age 21, how do you get these kids to be young adults where they have a future in front of them instead of 21 years old and laden with three convictions already? It's a very, very, very tough problem. For a city like Cleveland, too. And I wonder, that is Bibb going to be the kind of mayor? Is he going to be an ebullient kind of, energetic? You know, is he going to stride like Eric Adams is doing now, the ex-cop who's the mayor-elect of New York? Is he going to walk down the streets and say, come on, man, let's go and, go to the homeless people and go to everyone? Is he going to rally the city? Going to, get us behind the sports teams again? And, I just don't know if he's got the... the cojones. Let's see. Maybe. I'd love to be wrong about him. I'd love to be wrong. He's not just a community organizer. That he's a leader. He wants to be a historic leader for a city with deep historic roots. A city with so much to be proud of. But you can't avert your eyes, as so many Clevelanders do, to the death toll every night. Mike in Cleveland Heights, what's on your mind, buddy?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, 5x5.
I wanted to comment a little about the gun safety issue. I grew up here in Cleveland. My high school had a rifle team. I was a member of the National Rifle Association for many years. I think it's irresponsible for our elected politicians to avoid the issue of gun safety. I think every gun owner should be over 21. I think they should be... keep their guns locked up.
What do you think of the parents in Oxford, Michigan, who gave the 15-year-old the 9mm semi-automatic for his birthday, his 15th birthday, knowing that he was having tremendous emotional problems at school?
I think they're irresponsible to the point of legally being liable for all the deaths. Absolutely. I was 12 years old when I started shooting guns. I was trained by experts. I was monitored. I was on my high school rifle team. And to think that people are allowed to buy a gun for a 15-year-old who they know is probably mentally disturbed and has emotional issues, those parents should be tried and convicted just like their son is. If I lived in that community, I would be furious.
Of course you should be. And so, you know, angry at their sleazy behavior post-massacre where they disappeared after responding very defensively. They disappeared. They were hiding out someplace in some warehouse in Detroit when they got snitched out. There was a $10,000 reward.
I mean, you mentioned the snatch and grab that's going on in our country with retail stores. This issue is to me is even more because this is property theft, but we're talking about loss of life. This kid had, I don't know how many clips of ammunition. If he could have easily blasted away at 25 people would be dead.
Sure.
And we've seen that before. So I think people in the NRA who oppose gun locks, gun safeties, smart guns that will only be allowed to use if you're just like my car, I have to have a little key with a chip in it to use my car. Why not have that? I mean, let's save our children from this kind of scourge.
Okay, Mike, I'm with you. I hear you. Some other some things that have happened that I want you to be aware of. Governor Newsom, who survived the recall election in California, he now is bringing he's enlisted the CHIPS, the fabled law enforcement agency, the California Highway Patrol. They are going to patrol some of the malls, which I think will be useful. Chicago, if they don't deal with the ghetto civil war that's raging there, 40 shot last weekend, 3 dead, you've got to recognize that there's something aberrant happening there. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, now 506 people killed this year alone, including a student from Temple University. And you know, the other thing that's happened, I'll get to your calls in a minute, 216-578-1100. The other thing that's happening is that aside from the defund the police movement, you know, which has been largely discredited, you also had this bail reform movement where no cash bail or very little cash bail, like the guy in Wisconsin that ran down the Christmas paraders, killing 6 of them. He was out on $1,000 bail. It's absolutely appalling. The guy, Jeffrey Epstein's right-hand lady, Ghislaine Maxwell, has been sitting in jail for 17 months without bail. 17 months without bail. She an immediate threat to anybody? Ran down his wife or his baby's mama, and he got $1,000 bail. He's out on $1,000 bail to kill people. It's just ridiculous. The criminal justice reform is so politicized. It's political, the criminal justice system. Anyway, let me squeeze Tim in. Hey, Tim from Millersburg, what's up? Thanks for calling.
Hello?
Hi, buddy.
Hi, this day may not live in infamy, Geraldo. The new history book the Department of Education has put out, the chapter starts with us dropping the atomic bomb on Nagasaki, and it goes on to explain how it started the arms race and the Cold War basically ruined the world. There's no mention of Pearl Harbor, of D-Day, of concentration camps in North Africa. So the leftists are getting away with changing, with revising history, and it's a shame.
Well, you've got to fight wokeism. This show is the sworn enemy of wokeism, to you, to borrow something from Tucker Carlson. And I don't like to borrow things from Tucker. But I do think that we've got to confront the political correctness that is malignant, lies malignant like a blanket over us. We've got to fight our way out. Say, wait a second. That's not the way things happen. So give my... Seriously, last word, give my idea of the dye some thought. It's not lethal force. so the kid doesn't get killed or even meaningfully injured, but the kid is sprayed with the pink or Day-Glow blue indelible ink on his clothing, on the goods that they steal. So he leaves that store, have like a spray system, like almost like an agricultural system. Just spray the kids, someone hits a button, they go running into the streets and they're all pink. I think that makes them easier to track down and might help. At least it is an idea that is short of firing squads. Firing squads don't work. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.